As you take your seats, please turn with me in your Bibles to John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. Real quick, we're going to have a quick meeting after church with Brother Nelson for all of the young people. We have something coming up that we want you to be a part of. So this message is really for your parents to make sure you stay after church. I know a lot of time we run out of here, but stay after church for a few moments. Meet Brother Nelson. Wave your hand, Brother Nelson. Meet in the fellowship hall for about 10 minutes after church on today. John chapter 4, as I said, we will be teaching and preaching from the book of John during the remainder of this month. As we approach this book of John, John has a clear focus and message that he is giving to his hearers. And so, Lord, we pray today that we will hear the message that John delivered to the people, that we will believe and have life in you because of what we have heard today. It is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the things that we look forward to when we are young is to get to the age where we can get our driver's license. How many of y'all remember couldn't wait to get your driver's license? Your parents were not that excited, okay? But you are, right? But in order to get your driver's license, first you must learn how to read and understand road signs. Huh? You have to know what the signs mean. It's a dangerous thing to have somebody on the road and they don't know the difference between a stop sign and a do not enter sign. I got a whole message on stop sign versus do not enter. It's a big difference, but I won't bother you with that on this morning. But it's important that you know that a yield sign is not a stop sign. Come on, somebody. I hit somebody one day because they interpret. Okay, never mind. let me stay focused. But it's important that you know what these road signs mean. It's also important that you know what to do when you get to a stoplight. Like, you need to know that red means stop, green means go, and what does yellow mean? Go really fast so you don't. That's not what that means, no. Oh, sorry. It means slow down, prepare to stop, right? But you see on the road how dangerous it can be. You know, there are people who have lost their lives because somebody didn't obey a sign that was in the road. These signs are not there because the government has nothing else to do with its money and you like, you know, making images. No, these signs are there to direct us and to protect us. And if you ignore the sign, it can cost your life. Let me say that again. If you ignore the signs, it could cost your life. The book of John records seven signs. We call them miracles, but John calls them signs. That already tells us that John is looking at what Jesus did from a different standpoint than what we're looking at it for. It already tells us that John's approach is very different than our own approach. John says he did signs. It's also important that you know that John did not record all of the miracles and signs that Jesus did. Write this scripture down. John chapter 21, verse 25 says this, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Did you hear what John said? John said, I didn't write down everything that Jesus did. Because if I did, I would have to write so many books that the world would run out of space. Now this was before iCloud, right? John didn't have servers back then. I have a software on my laptop that has about 3,000 books in it. So technically, I'm walking around with 3,000 books. But I got a message yesterday that said, my iCloud is full. So now I have to go back and delete some stuff to make room for new stuff. Very easily, 3,000 books could fit in this room. But John said, if I wrote down everything that Jesus did, the world would run out of space. The oceans would be full. The valleys would be full. Deserts would be full. Not with the same story over and over again, but separate individual miracles and signs that Jesus did. The world would run out of space. Come on, that's why we say, great are you, Lord. So the question is, why did he choose these seven? Out of all that Jesus did, he chose seven. But why? John chapter 20, you can write this verse down. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John chose these seven signs to direct us to the person of Christ. John chose these signs so that we would see what Jesus did and then know that he is the Son of God and then have life in him. Let me say a couple of things here. Miracles are to impress us. Signs are to direct us. Miracles are about performance, but signs are about a person. John did not want us to get caught up in what Jesus did. John wanted to reveal to us who Jesus is. That's why, in addition to the seven signs that John records, he also records seven I am statements that Jesus made. For example, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't just do miracles and signs, but he also made some powerful I am statements. How is it that I am able to bring the dead back to life? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. How is it that I'm able to feed 5,000? Because I am the bread of life. How is it that I'm able to give sight to the blind? Because I am the light of the world. He's making a connection here. See? John wanted to introduce us to a person. The gospel is not about a performance. It's about a person. The signs point us to something deeper then what happened? Can I tell you that God has put some signs in your life, and those signs are to show you that there is something deeper at work in your life. There are signs to show you that is not just what happened, but why it happened. It is to direct you to something that you wouldn't see without the sign. So John gives us evidence to point our faith to Jesus Christ, that we will put our trust in him, not just because of what he said, but because of what he did. See, it's not about what Jesus does for us. It's about who he is to us. Come on, somebody. Because he doesn't always do for us what we want him to do, but he is always to us what he said he would be. Come on, somebody. And so I can trust him, not because of what he does, but because of who he is. Come on, somebody. Lord, have mercy. And I follow him because I can take him at his word. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 46, is an example of one of the signs that John recorded. John chapter 4, verse 46 says, "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine." That was the first sign. That's in chapter 2. "And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.' The nobleman said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your son lives.' So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way." A couple of observations here. The first observation here is that John is revealing to us that, like God, distance is not a limitation to Jesus. Where Jesus was standing was 20 miles from where the boy was. The father went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, come down where my son is and heal him, because he is at the point of death." The man didn't know that distance wasn't a limitation to Jesus. I thought about the fact that my family lives in Maryland. If something happens and I need to get home quickly, it's going to take me at least 4 hours to get there if I fly. Why? Because first I got to book a flight, then I got to throw clothes in a bag, then I got to drive to the airport, then I have to go through security, and if I get a nonstop flight, I'll be in the air 2.5 hours before I land, and so by the time I get to be able to do something, it's 4 hours later. That's best case scenario. But with Jesus, distance is not a limitation. This man thought that Jesus had to come where you are to heal you. This man thought that Jesus had to come and touch his son and be healed. This man didn't know that all Jesus had to do was speak the word and his son would be healed. This man begged Jesus, come, come quickly. My son is sick, and if you don't do anything, he will die. And he didn't know that Jesus' word had creative power. He didn't know that Jesus didn't have to be next to you to heal you. He could stay where he is, 20 miles away, and his word would catch wings and take care of the business that needed to be taken care of to heal this boy. He didn't know that about Jesus. But Jesus told him, go back home. Your son will live. This brings me to my second observation. It's interesting that although the man didn't know it, he didn't know that Jesus didn't have to be near his son to heal him. When Jesus spoke it, he believed it. Oh, come on, come on. Never happened before, but Jesus spoke it, he believed it. The Bible said to Jesus said to the man, your son is going to live. The Bible says the man believed him and went home. Come on, somebody. Listen. Jesus did not respond the way this man wanted him to respond. Jesus did not do what this man wanted him to do. And there was no evidence whatsoever that this boy would be healed just by Jesus' word. But the man believed it and went home. Listen. This man is not like Tim Brewington. This man would have said, Jesus, come on. I know you're busy, but this is a life or death situation. It's just 20 miles. We can get there in a day and a half, maybe 2 days. That was the distance. Huh? Tim Brewington would have been disappointed. Because I've seen you go visit other people's house and heal them. And I came all of this way to ask you to come heal my son. And first of all, you say to me, was the man ignored this statement? Jesus said in verse 48, unless you all see signs and wonders, you don't believe. The man didn't acknowledge that at all. He just said, would you come down to my son's house? We can talk about theology later, but can you heal my son? That's what I would have did, huh? But this man didn't leave disappointed. He didn't leave frustrated. He left believing. He heard the word. He took Jesus at his word, and then he went home. Can I tell you that Sundays when you come in here and you put your request on the altar of God, and God speaks a word to you, take him at his word, believe him, and then go home. Come back at 6 o'clock for Bible study, but go home. I'm just saying. So the man left believing with no physical evidence. All that he knew before is that Jesus had to touch in order for somebody to be healed. But Jesus said, your son lives. The man took him at his word and went home. Here's my third observation. The boy was healed the moment that Jesus spoke the word. This teaches us another thing, that there is no time distance between what Jesus says and what happens. The moment he speaks, it happens. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. There wasn't a council about it. There wasn't a conversation about it. He spoke it and it came to pass. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, this is good news that all he has to do is speak it. He doesn't have to be where you are. All he has to do is speak it. And there is no distance that can stop him and no time that can slow him up. When he speaks it, it comes to pass. That's why when I pray, I say, Lord, send your word. Speak to my situation. Just say something, because I know whatever you say, it will happen. You don't have to move a mountain. Just speak to it. Hallelujah. You don't have to change anything. Just speak and it will happen. Come on, somebody. Jesus spoke and it happened. Here is another observation. You can turn to verse 51. This fourth observation, although the miracle happened when Jesus spoke it, the man was unaware of it. He didn't know it had happened. Verse 51 says, while the man was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. On his way home, his servants met him and said, your son is alive and well. Verse 52, here is where it gets interesting. He asked them when the boy had begun to get better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. It was yesterday, because I told you, it's about a 2-day walk. He met him and said, when did my son get better? They said, yesterday at around 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the fever disappeared. Verse 53 says, then the father realized that that was the very time Jesus had told him, your son will live. When did it happen? The time Jesus said it would happen. How did it happen? It happened suddenly. Come on, somebody. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, it doesn't matter how long you've been dealing with something. When Jesus speaks, it will happen suddenly. Come on, somebody. Here's my observation, though. The man didn't know that it had already happened. Come on, somebody. Jesus spoke it. The man believed it. The man went home, but he didn't know that Jesus had already sent the word and his son was already healed. He didn't know it. You know what this teaches us? That when Jesus speaks a word, the miracle already happened, even if you are not aware of it. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The boy didn't get healed when the father found out about it. The boy got healed when Jesus spoke it. Come on. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm encouraging myself this morning. It could be, can I help you? It could be that some of us are waiting on a miracle that has already happened. The thing is, we just haven't got the message yet. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It had already happened. The man said, but what time did it happen? happen? When did it happen? They told him the time, and he said, that was the time that Jesus spoke. It was a day and a half later when he realized that his son was already healed. But here is the good news for somebody. We build our faith in the personhood of Christ because we know that just because we don't see it, just because we're not aware of it, doesn't mean it hasn't already happened. The moment he speaks, it happens. Sometimes the message gets delayed. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes a minute for us to get the message. Sometimes it takes a minute for your body to get the message. Sometimes it takes a minute for your doctor to get a message. Sometimes it takes a minute for your attorney to get the message. I'm trying to help somebody. The miracle is already done. We're just waiting for the message. It's already done. Now, the adversary could have discouraged this man on his way home, could have been speaking to him, saying, I know you wanted your son to be healed, but you need to be making funeral arrangements for him. But I got to tell you something. You got to take Jesus at his word. You hear what I'm saying? I don't care what it looks like. When you get a word from the Lord, you hold on to that word, whether you see it happening or not. Time is not an issue with God. Distance is not an issue with God. It doesn't matter how bad the situation is. We serve a God who spoke the world into existence with the power of his word. I'm trying to help somebody. This morning, you know, some of us are struggling because we don't take the power of God's word seriously. I'm going to take it a step further. Some of us are waiting for a special message in a bottle. Some of us are waiting for a special prophet to come our way. Some of us are waiting for God to write letters in the sky. But let me tell you something. He already wrote you a letter. You gotta take what he said in here and speak his word to your situation, because his word is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And his word says, I'm the head and not the tail. His word says, I'm more than a conqueror. His word says, thanks be to God that always causes us to triumph. And his word says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So even if I die, I still win. That's what his word says. His word says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That man left the presence of Jesus walking by faith. I don't know what's going to happen, but Jesus already said, your son lives. Can I give you a quick 30-second testimony? When I was in the hospital and the doctors had given me up for dead, I was praying one night and God said to me, you are not going to die. I heard him say it. My parents came into the room the next day looking all concerned, looking all worried. And I said, guess what, y'all? Last night God told me that I wasn't going to die. Yeah. Now let me tell you, the doctor said something else. The doctor told my parents to go ahead and start making funeral arrangements. But God said, you shall not die. And listen, I didn't have any other choice. I had to take him at his word. After he spoke it, I got worse. But I kept telling myself, God said, you shall not die. 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 And somebody, you need to look at your situation and say, God said, you shall not die. And every time that old adversary tries to sneak up in this body, I look at him and say, listen, God said, you shall not die. And he hasn't said anything different, so I'm going to stick with that. I know you look new, but guess what? The same God who told me 30 years ago, you shall not die, every time you rise up in this old body of mine, he rises up again. He said, I said he shall not die. You got to take him at his word. You got to open up your mouth and declare with boldness what the Lord says. Your latter shall be greater than your former. Hallelujah. You got to speak it to yourself. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't matter how it looks. You got to live by what you know. We know it's working together for our good. You got to take him at his word. Every other word is a lie. Whatever the burden is on your heart this morning, I know you've made an urgent plea to God. God, if you don't come to my house quick, my situation's gonna die. God, if you don't stop what you're doing and come now, it's going to die. God, we need you now. I beg you. Don't look at me crazy. Anybody else in here ever beg God for something? I beg you, take this away. I beg you, heal my child. I beg you, save my marriage. I beg you, let me keep my house. Anybody ever beg God for something? Come on, somebody. Guess what? God didn't respond to the begging. God responded to his faith. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God responds to faith. He spoke the word. The man believed it and went home. One more observation here. You look at verse 53. He gets the message that his son is alive and doing well. And then the last part of verse 53, he says, and he and his entire household believed in Jesus. Ooh-wee. Oh, let me tell y'all, I'm praying for household salvation. Everybody in the house, everybody connected to the house, everybody that was born in the house, everybody that stayed in the house, everybody that pays rent in this house, eats the food in this house, uses the electricity in this house, cuts the grass at this house, everything in this house. Come on, somebody. This incident was not just a miracle. It was a sign to point the house to Christ. Lord have mercy. Oh, I don't want to disappoint you. But Jesus didn't heal this boy just for the sake of it. Mm-mm. He didn't heal this boy just because his father had faith. He healed him to demonstrate the power of his word. And so that by seeing the power of his word, they would believe that he is the Christ, Son of the living God. Can I tell you that some things happen to us so that the people in our house will see it and believe it? Why do you think the believer who lives in a majority unsaved house goes through so much? Can I tell you, if anybody gets sick, it's probably going to be you, so that they can see God work a miracle in your life and the whole house will get saved. Oh, I don't want to mess up your theology, but some of the things that you are going through is not for you. It's for your house. Come on, somebody. God's going to save your house. He said he saved the household. Remember verse 48? It says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Now, I'm going to say something that some of you are going to disagree with and some are going to be offended by. But I don't work for y'all, I work for the Lord, okay? I'm just saying. Miracles and signs are not for the believer. They're for the unbeliever. Can I come back next Sunday? Hear me. Now, he does miracles and signs for us and through us. But miracles and signs are for the benefit of the unbeliever, so that the unbeliever will see something and say, I've never seen that before. Who is that? Let me reverse it. Because a sign is not about the performance. The sign is about a person. God, show me something that will direct me to you. I got to see Jesus. Can I say this? At some point, as believers, we have to mature enough to say, God, you don't have to show me anything else. I don't need another miracle. I don't need another sign. I don't need another prayer answered. You don't have to make a way out of no way. You've already proven yourself to me. I am fully into you. Why? Because I love your personhood. I love who you are to me. I love how you walk with me and you comfort me. And you keep me and you strengthen me. You don't have to change my life. Just walk me through it. You don't have to move the mountain. Just give me strength. You don't even have to heal me. Just give me the grace to bear it. I'm committed to you. You're not a performer. You are a person that I love and adore. You're not some genie in a bottle where I'm working to make a wish campaign. No, you are my lover. You are my Lord, you are my King, you are my Savior, and I love you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. Ooh. That's what's wrong sometimes, because we love the performance, but we don't want the person. Come on, somebody. God does miracles all the time for atheists, unbelievers, agnostic. God does miracles constantly. But my brothers and my sisters, every once in a while, he'll give you a sign. Come on, somebody, where he will direct you to him. And I'm saying we got to get over this thing where we love God for the performance. Because if he doesn't perform, then we're weak in our faith. If he doesn't perform, then we want to leave the church. If he doesn't perform, there ain't no God. Listen, he doesn't have to do anything else. He's already proven himself. At some point, we mature to the point where we say, God, I will take you at your word because I know who you are. See, you can't trust somebody you don't know. You can't depend on somebody you don't know. Come on, somebody. You can't lean on somebody that you don't know. But at some point, you have to know him enough that if he says it, you know it's already done. Whether you see it or not, whether you get the message or not. Lord, I'm telling somebody today, God is saying to somebody in this room, I'm not performing for you. I'm trying to get you to fall in love with me. Yeah. I'm not some entertainer where you go and buy a ticket and watch me perform for 45 minutes. I am the living God. I created you, and I desire for you to get to know me. But you'll never know me if you place demands on how I am to perform in your life. I am the potter. You are the clay. You don't get to decide what I make out of you. You don't get to tell me, I don't like what you made me. Start all over again. That's way above your pay grade. Come on, somebody. I don't live for you. You live for me. Come on, somebody. You didn't create me. I created you. Last point here. Think about the history that you have with God. Think about it. Think about the times when you begged God to do something and he didn't do it. How disappointed and hurt you were. And then a few years later, you look back at it and say, whew, I'm so glad he didn't do it. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me out here. How many of y'all glad for not just the prayers God answered, but for the prayers he didn't answer? Come on, somebody. For the doors he didn't open, for the time he didn't come to your house. Hallelujah to God. Would you stand to your feet? Glory to Jesus. This was a sign so that the people would believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That Messiah had come and that his word is powerful. Our faith is not in what God does. Our faith is in who he is. We take him at his word because of who he is. His history with us is good. His record with us is good. That even when we don't understand, even when it doesn't turn out the way we want it to turn out, even when he doesn't respond the way we want him to respond, we have enough history to know that whatever he decides, it's good for us. And we know he loves us. And as a loving father, he wouldn't do anything to harm us. It may hurt us, but it's not meant to harm us. When our faith is in him, we trust him even when he doesn't respond. When our faith is in him, we trust him even when he seems far away. When our faith is in him, we trust him even when we're listening for him and we don't hear him. Come on, somebody, don't misinterpret the silence of God as the absence of God. I'm going to say it again. Don't misinterpret the silence of God as the absence of God. He may not be saying anything, but he promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. Last point, just because he's not saying anything doesn't mean he's not doing anything. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah to God. When our faith is in him, we know that things are happening even when we don't see it. We take God at his word. We believe him, and then we go home. We go home in faith. We go home expecting that whatever he said will come to pass. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that has come to us today, that has directed us to go beyond performance, but to seek the person. That the gospel is not about a performance, but it's about a person, and that person is Christ Jesus. God, I thank you today that you are maturing us in our faith, where we don't need you to perform for us to trust you. We don't need you to perform for us to hold on to you and take you at your word. I thank you, God, that you are maturing us today, where we take you at your word. We trust you because your word has power. Your word is faithful, and everything you say comes to pass. Speak to us today, Lord. Send a word to us today, Lord. Some of us brought situations in this room today. God, one word from you can change everything, God. Hallelujah. So we pray, God, hallelujah, that you speak a word to our lives. Speak over our lives. Speak over our circumstances, God. And whatever you say, hallelujah, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. And we trust your word. And now, God, we want to worship you because you are the faithful God who keeps your promises from one generation to the next. And we will be like the man, hallelujah. We will take you at your word, hallelujah. You have proven to be trustworthy. We can depend on you. We can trust you. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Real quick, would you lift your hands and just worship God today? Worship him, hallelujah, because he's faithful and good. Hallelujah. Worship him because his word never fails. Whatever he says comes to pass, and it happens suddenly. Hallelujah. Always changing for somebody today because he is sending a word. Hallelujah. He's sending a word today. Yes. Hallelujah. We're almost done, but touch him. Touch him today. Hallelujah. Be like the man. Say, God, I'm desperate. Even if you don't come to my house, send a word to my house. Hallelujah. I believe your word, God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our household shall be saved. God, we stand in faith today for household salvation. Hallelujah. Household salvation, God. We pray for it today, hallelujah, that our houses, our homes, our families will turn to you and say, yes, you are the Christ, hallelujah, you are the Savior, hallelujah, that our whole house will shift, hallelujah, that our affections will be on you, hallelujah, our children and our children's children, hallelujah. For you said in the book of Acts that this gift is for us, for our children's children, and for as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that it's flowing from this house and is flowing out to all the houses represented in this room today. Hallelujah. Change the atmosphere in our homes today. Hallelujah. Let your glory, let your presence, the same presence that we feel in this room right now, let that presence be in our homes, God, in the name of Jesus. Manifest your power in our homes, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover our homes. Keep us in the center of your will. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you clap your hands for Jesus one time?